Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in January 2024, where today here we conclude our four-part series called Where Are You Going? Week one was Where Are You Going? Week two, Where Are We Going? Week three, What Happens When Life Interrupts Where You're Going? When Plan A is no longer an option. Which brings us to today, week four. And I want to talk now from the scriptures and science about five essential companions, attitudes, truths that have to be part of our toolkit for life if we want our days ahead to be filled with joy, peace, and purpose, and so on. Tools for where are you going, where are we going, plan A, plan B, tools for all of life. And what's awesome about these five tools is they aren't things you have to purchase or qualify for. These are tools available to each of us, gifts, truths, that if we'll take a hold of them, I believe can help us discover and live the kind of life that Jesus describes as full and abundant. And as you listen, you'll probably want to add or subtract or push back or edit them because you'll have your own perspectives and wisdom. And here's the other thing. As I have been thinking about these tools for me, it occurred to me that they each, for me, have a sound associated with them, a sound. And so hopefully this will be fun as we go through these five sounds that represent the five essential tools that I can't live without if I want my days ahead to be filled with the joy, peace, and purpose of God. So let's jump right in, and here's number one. First, the sound, and then the tool that it represents. Yep, that's the sound of typing on a keyboard, a sound that reminds me of the power of words. Or to quote the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And of course, when this was written, there wasn't typing and modern alphabets and books in the printing press. And so you understand this is equally about the words that you text, type, tweet, and post, as well as the words from your tongue. I think, too, of the words of James, the New Testament author, who uses three analogies in his letter, chapter 3 and verses 3 through 10. First, he says, words are like a bridle in the mouth of a horse. And then he says, words are like a rudder to a large ship. And then he uses the analogy of a spark to a forest fire. And he says, words wield great power. We can crush somebody's spirit. We can step on somebody's dream. We can fill somebody with resentment. We can make other people afraid. And on the other hand, the right word at the right time. And somebody who thought they were alone realizes they're not alone. They're loved. Somebody who is ready to give up now discovers hope. Somebody who once felt weighed down by guilt feels unconditional love and the freedom of forgiveness. Words really do have the power of life and death. And of course, there are dozens and dozens of admonitions about this throughout the scriptures. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The start of an argument is like the first break in a dam. Stop it before it goes any further. Or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Which leads to Jesus' diagnosis of the problem of our mouths. Matthew 12, verse 24, Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth and your heart are connected, Jesus says. So if I've got a mouth problem, then I have a heart problem, because whatever's going on in my heart eventually over time is going to come out of my mouth or my fingers on a keyboard or a smartphone. And I can try by willpower to hold my tongue, but if my heart doesn't change, inevitably my mouth is going to lead. This is why Jesus teaches that it's not just the words you say that we must focus on. Rather, it's the words you listen to and take in and soak in, because those words can transform your heart. And so one of the things that I know I want for my life, for this year and for all my days, is I want to live in a flow of words and thoughts that have goodness and dignity and strength and grace, humility and courage in them, because they will make their way to my heart. This is why there's a practice that I do most days of my life, totally copying the practice of the late USC professor and spiritual writer Dallas Willard, who said that every morning he would recite Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. And so I actually do try to most mornings to have my mind filled with those words. Now, of course, that's not enough. I need to pay attention to the words and thoughts that come to me after that via podcasts and books and websites and phone conversations and news sources and even the friends whose voices I listen to. But the general counsel here is words have the power of life and death, the words you speak and the words you take in, which means they will be a great essential tool for you and for me. They'll have a lot to do with our joy and progress today, this week, this month, this year. Words, the first critical essential tool for 2024. Okay, number two, the second essential tool that I can't live without if I want my days ahead to be filled with the joy, peace, and purpose of God. First the sound, and then the tool it represents. Yep, that is a sponge, which means now we're moving from our mouths to our ears and the things we're soaking up. Because a sponge reminds us that if we're always thinking about what we want to say, then we're never really listening and taking in what other people are saying. We're not soaking in other wisdom and experience. And so we must be human sponges filled with curiosity and humility, because life is filled with new discoveries and new learnings. I mean, even at the mundane level, it's obvious. If I had told you 15 years ago, hey, listen, in the near future, you're going to get into strangers' cars and they're going to take you places, you'd have been like, yeah, no chance of that. Oh, and then sometimes strangers will go to restaurants and grab your food and bring it to your home. My friends will? No, strangers. Oh, you mean staff at the restaurant? No, literal Uber Eats strangers will pick up your food. Yeah, David, no way. And if I had told you 10 years ago that by 2023, 75% of people would say they prefer watching movies at home to going to the theater, you'd say, nah, that's not likely. But I hope this makes the point, TNC, that new information is always coming into our world, and it's not just with movies and cars. It's with science and history and archaeology and cosmology. And the challenge is always, am I willing to be a sponge? To listen and learn with humility and curiosity? I listen regularly to Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast, Star Talk. Tyson is the Harvard-trained astrophysicist and cosmologist. He's director of the Hayden Planetarium. And he often will say some version of this: I try to learn something new every day. And what I'm most struck by when I listen to him is his humility. He's one of the smartest guys I know, and he's one of the most humble guys I know. And his belief is that if you're always at the head of the class, you're in the wrong class. And let me also recommend Adam Grant's newest book called Hidden Potential, The Science of Achieving Greater Things. And then read his chapter called Human Sponges, where he shows from a mountain of evidence that it's not the most intellectual that survive, or it's not the strongest that will win. It's the person who is most able to adapt, overlook, shift, accept new information and new possibilities. It's the human sponge that finds the greatest joy and success. This is exactly connected to Paul's words in the New Testament. Paul says, Colossians 3, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle. Philippians 2, do not be proud. In humility, regard others as better than yourself. And all of this, TNC, is calling us to live like a sponge, willing to learn and adapt and confess and grow, because that's going to have more to do with the joy and progress of our journey than almost anything else. Okay, number three, the third essential tool that I can't live without if I want my days ahead to be filled with the joy, peace, and purpose of God Here's the sound, and then I'll tell you the tool that it represents. Okay, those are coffee shop sounds. Pouring the cup, the sound of conversations, music, laughter. And to clarify here, I'm not talking about coffee being an essential tool for 2024. I'm talking about the friendships represented in the laughter, the conversation, the music, and the warmth. And I probably don't need to spend too much time on this because we talk about this regularly here, but just know that when you pursue an exciting, fun, rewarding path through life, you are for sure going to have moments of hardship, doubt, confusion, anxiety, pain. It comes with the territory. It comes with the terrain of being a human. And the best way forward will almost always include the friends you share your life with. Because pick your friends, pick your life. Or to quote again the social psychologist David McClelland, the people with whom you habitually associate will determine as much as 95% of your success or failure in life. This is why King Solomon wrote Proverbs 13, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Or Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, the one might be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That text always reminds me of the night I've told you about before in college when there was a huge talent show on the campus. Like 2,000 folks from the campus and the community came together, and it was emceed by two folks who were sort of a combination of narrators and comedians. And at one point in the middle of the talent show with thousands of people in the room, all of the auditorium lights went out. And after an initial gasp from the crowd and then some moments of confusion, the MCs came on over the microphone and said, "Don't panic, everybody. We're working on getting the lights back on." And a minute or so later, they said, "Hey, while we wait, everyone raise your left hand." And we all did, although we couldn't see it. "Okay," they said, "left hand down. Now everyone raise your right hand." And we all did. And then they said, "Right hand down. Now everyone on the count of three raise both hands. One, two, three." And all of our hands went up. And the lights in the entire auditorium came on. And we all started clapping, and the MCs who had orchestrated the entire thing said, "It's true, many hands make light work." A clever play on words, obviously, but I'll never forget it. Many hands make light work. And of course, we want the right friends, the right hands, because some friends, they're sort of like a commercial for a pharmaceutical drug that sounds great, but then they spend the next 45 seconds telling you about all the side effects. But the right friends, TNC, the farther and the further I go in life, the more I realize that it's the friends who love me unconditionally, and I them, that allows us to both experience the journey with peace and joy and purpose in ways that we never could otherwise. And the older I get, the more I see the truth that when I get to the end of my life, when I look back on it, it will be the relationships and the friendships and the love that matter most of all. And we talk about this a lot, but just know your friends will have more to do with the joy and progress of your journey than almost anything else. Okay, number four, the fourth essential tool that I can't live without if I want my days ahead to be filled with the joy, peace, and purpose of God. Here's the sound, and then I'll tell you the tool that it represents. Okay, that is a jackhammer, and it's a sound that reminds me about what we all have over and over and over and over again, which is seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, time. Which caused the Apostle Paul to write to a people he loved, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "Live purposefully and carefully, not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people," verse 16, "making the very most of your time." And I like to think of it this way. Imagine that you're standing in a line of folks getting paid. Can you see that huge line? You're in a line of folks getting paid money, cash. And each person in the line, including you, gets $1,440. Because, by the way, every 24 hours has 1,440 minutes. And so you get, like everybody else, $1,440, 1,440 minutes every day. And here's the question, what will you do with your 1,440? Because this is what Paul is saying. Own your time. And you've got to make the most of it. Invest it. Use it intentionally. Again, I think of the wisdom of Gretchen Rubin in her phenomenal book, Better Than Before. Quote, what you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while. This is directly linked to, do you have a well-ordered daily schedule? Do you think through, plan out, write down your daily activities, how you will eat, sleep, and move, how you will tackle the hardest problems of your day as soon as possible, no procrastination, how you'll take advantage of time in your car, in a waiting room, at a job you don't love, how you'll prioritize things like church and healthy social gatherings and volunteering and generosity. Just know, TNC, your attention to how you spend your days will have more to do with the joy and progress of your journey than almost everything else. Which leads to number 5, the final tool for today, the 5th essential practice that I can't live without if I want my days ahead to be filled with the joy, peace, and purpose of God. Here's the sound. Yep, that is the worship song. Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins from Top Gun and the inspiring first scene of the movie, because life is a danger zone and it will require courage, and that's what the song represents, courage. Courage is an essential tool. Let me explain. This is a point Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, teacher, and author, makes in his newest book, Beyond Order, where he talks about how he has seen over and over across generations and economic situations and cultures that courage is an essential key to human flourishing. He writes, when a person actually confronts the limitations of life courageously, it results in a certain psychological function. They learn that they have the capacity to courageously confront their suffering, to transcend it psychologically, as well as to ameliorate it practically, and they unlock the key to human success. He goes on to talk about how if you stack up stories of your courage, like have a library of historically courageous moments in your life. He says, write down something you did that took courage. And as you do, you will find it reassuring, because tomorrow will come whether you like it or not. But yesterday's courage will help you in tomorrow's danger zone. This is the exact thing that helped King David when he wanted permission to fight Goliath on behalf of the nation of Israel when he was just a young shepherd boy. David says to Saul, you know the story, I'll go fight Goliath. Saul says, hey, David, I appreciate your optimism, but you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. By the way, it's that same voice, the voice of Saul, that says to you and to me in 2024, hey, you aren't able to give up that habit. You aren't able to overcome that resentment. You aren't able to change your spending habits. You're not able to free up more resources to help others. You're not able to forgive. You're not able to find peace. Saul belittles David. You're only a boy. You're not able. But then verse 34, David says to Saul, I have been keeping my father's sheep. And when a lion and when a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. And so I know the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. David says, it doesn't matter how big your 2024 giant is. It matters if you remember how big your God is and how he has been with you in the past, because it will be a fuel tank of courage for you that will drive you to your next act of courage and the next place that you will go. So, five essential tools for 2024. Typing your words, a sponge, your humility to learn, a coffee shop, your friends, a jackhammer, your daily routines, and a Kenny Loggins tune, your courage. Let's lean into these tools in the days ahead. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the start of this new year, for its possibilities. I pray that as we move forward together as a church family, that we would be able to strongly support one another with love and grace and wisdom. And I pray now, God, for everyone who's listening, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.